Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond because, as we know, Lyme doesn't normally travel alone. I created this podcast to give you hope and inspiration and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my own 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we're going to have raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with different topics and approaches from different practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. So joining me today is Dr. Corey Tischauer. He's the founder of Bear Creek Naturopathic Clinic in Medford, Oregon, as well as the co-founder of Jivora Health. So I'm really excited for this episode, for one, because I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Corey at the last ILADS conference. And I got to hear him speak. He talked a lot about high-dose vitamin C, which was one of my favorite things, and I don't hear practitioners talk about it a lot. So we're going to take a little bit of time to kind of dive into that. He's going to share how his clinic kind of approaches patients and where to start from. But the biggest thing we're going to talk about today is what Jivora Health is doing, and that is a at-home testing kit. Yes, at-home testing kit. Can you believe I just said that? So if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you know I'm very specific about the labs that I personally recommend. And this testing kit is utilizing the labs from Aarman Labs in Germany. And that is one of my favorite labs. And so I'm excited to kind of hear how the whole process works, how we can do it. Oh, and guess what? You don't need a doctor to order this test. I mean, so many amazing things are so good about this. So I'm excited to have Dr. Corey join me and just break everything down for us. So, Dr. Corey, so great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Tanya. It's such a pleasure to be here. As I was saying, this is something I've been looking forward to since the two of us met at ILADS over in the vendor space, and you immediately engaged me. And I think we talked for probably an hour right there on the floor, and realized at that point that we could go on for hours and hours. So again, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to sitting down with you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I know. Should we put a stopwatch on, right? Because I'm pretty confident we could probably talk for 3 hours and not even know it. So, anyways,
Absolutely.
let's go ahead and get into it. So, I know that, different practitioners oftentimes utilize different approaches. Sometimes they want to work on detoxing. Sometimes they want to build up the immune system. I just had one on that said the first thing they address is the nervous system, which I thought was fascinating and I loved it. So it's always nice to hear different approaches that different practitioners have, right? Because there's not one size fits all when we're talking anything about this Lyme umbrella, right? Like we're all so different. So if we can just take a little bit of time up front here before we get into the good stuff, right? And talk about kind of your approach at your clinic and then, maybe some of the modalities that you have available, and then we'll dive into the high dose vitamin C and the amazing benefits of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess I would start off by saying, like, Lyme disease is part of this like chronic complex illness constellation, right? And in that constellation, everyone is individual, everyone is different, every presentation, and this goes beyond just whether you have Lyme and co-infections. It also involves your immune system. It involves like whether or not you've had environmental exposures, whether you've had trauma in your life, your upbringing, there's so many aspects of this. And so when I talk about how I approach health, I say the goal is not just to treat what's wrong with you, but it's also to address what's not right with you. And I know those two terms sound really similar, but one is very health oriented. It's an acknowledgement that you have to build health. right? And the other side is, of course, this mechanistic, sort of more allopathic approach of how do we treat disease, right? And the idea is that both of those things are important. Sometimes one has more weight than the other, but ultimately, when I try and take a good history and I'm trying to gather information through labs or other things, the goal is to understand what is the balance between loss of health and the acquirement of some disease process, and how do we like try and meet both things so that we can get people momentum and that we can actually see results and we can see an improvement in their health. And this is one of the reasons why, 25 years ago, I don't know, 26 years ago, whatever it's been now, I chose very deliberately to become a naturopathic physician instead of going on to an allopathic medical school after my pre-medical training at Cornell, because I wanted to address vitalism and not just mechanism. And so and that, of course, we can go on and on from there, but that's my approach to health. And so in my practice, I do a lot of things. So we do everything from nutritional counseling and assessments to herbs and hyperbaric oxygen biophotomodulation, to, as Tanya, you're mentioning, IV therapy, which could be IV vitamin C, or it could be, IV ceftriaxone with daptomycin. And really, it's the idea that there's no such thing as something that's right or wrong. It's just what may be appropriate for each individual based on who they are, their vital force, their like ability to get better. And so my emphasis is that it takes time to spend with people. And my appointments generally are always, 30, generally 60 minutes long, 30 minutes at the shortest, and 2 hours for new people, so that I can try and get all of that information.
I love that. And yeah, so not even just Western medicine doctors, but even sometimes in this holistic world as well, we don't get enough time. And I think it's really important because we're so individualized. And just because, one standard thing says, well, if you have this, you're supposed to respond either A or B. Well, maybe there's a C, and we need to have practitioners in our corner, trusting us and trying to understand what our body is going through and how we're reacting to different things, because we truly are so individualized. And I think that can cause a lot of issues in our healing journey when we don't have practitioners that are open-minded or get more curious, I guess, is maybe a better word for it. So I love that you take the time with your patients, because I think that it's very important. And I know that you kind of have a whole thing approach. Like, you're not going to address this first or this first. You kind of address a lot of things. And so I want you to talk a little bit about that. And then also, in doing that, how do you avoid the supplement overload, right? Because I mean, I remember when I was going through my journey, I had so many pills to take. By the time I took them with all the water, I was so full, there was no way I could eat. And I was full from water, right? And these supplements. So I know that it can be overloaded, right? And oftentimes practitioners do overload us on things. So how do you find that balance when you're trying to address everything at one time?
So let me answer this in two parts. So in terms of how I address everything at once, as you mentioned, there's a lot of people out there who will say you need to go through one step to get to the next, to get to the next, and get to the next. And it can paint this picture that sounds exhausting, where, suddenly you realize you've got immune issues, you've got this issue, you've got this infection, and everything's presented in this sequential way, which can, at the end of the day, sound like it's going to take you years and years, if decade, if not a decade, to finally reach the end of this journey. My approach is more, it's based on the idea of trying to get as much information up front as possible. And I do want to acknowledge that, there's the subjective side. I mean, everything we do has a clinical basis in your history and, what your symptom presentation is. And after 20 years of practice, yes, I've gotten pretty good at being able to use that knowledge and sometimes use clinical interventions as ways to understand whether I'm correct or not in those assumptions. But I do like data. I wouldn't have founded Jevora Health if I didn't. I'm very objective in being evidence-based. And so I like doing testing. My own clinic has a full complete lab in it. And so I emphasize especially four things when I'm looking at each person. One is infection, of course. What are we dealing with, right? So that in a bacterial level could involve Lyme, relapsing fever, Babesia, Bartonella, these other co-infections that I'm sure your listeners know about. It could involve viral reactivation, right? That's always a possibility. And parasites, honestly, are something that I think goes vastly under-recognized in the United States as a potential concern. And something that, again, Jevora Health, we want to move forward with Armin Labs in the near future to empower people to even do some of this parasite testing. The second thing is immune dysfunction. It's so common to hear that people had their tick bites sometimes years before they actually got really sick. And it takes, a lot of, unfortunately, it can take years for people to finally make that connection and get a good diagnosis from a literate provider. Again, one of the reasons why we created Jevora Health to empower people to do testing on their own. But this idea of immune dysfunction is so pervasive that you can have had a bite, you could have had something, and you might have been okay. You may have seen some slow decline in your health, or maybe your will was so strong, your vital force, that you were able to just keep going. But there was, some sort of, straw that broke the camel's back, so to say. And it probably was some emotional trauma or some physical event. And suddenly people get really sick. And what that trauma represents is often the predicator to an immune, a change in the immune system, a shift in immune prioritization that then allows these infections to proliferate in the body. And so I believe it's important to test for immune dysfunction because if your body's not helping you, the antibiotic isn't going to, or the herb or whatever it is that we're using as an antimicrobial, isn't going to be your solution. It's a tool in this process. And it's important to know that our body's immune systems are critical in making sure that they're participating in our recovery. And the third thing is environmental exposures. This is something that has gained a lot of recognition in the last 15 years, especially since Richie Shoemaker really talked about mold and has gone on and on. And we've seen books like Toxic and other things coming out where we know mycotoxin might be there, but it could be other stuff. It could be toxic metals, it could be solvents, it could be a number of potential environmental things, even who knows, electrosmog, 5G. I mean, we live in a world where we're releasing thousands and thousands of xenochemicals into our environment every year. And these things are often fat soluble. They affect the neuroendocrine system. They affect cellular membranes and mitochondrial health. And so they're important to understand. And finally, structure, something you asked me about earlier when we talked about Ehlers-Danlos, Tanya, the idea that your structure, your hypermobility, spinal issues, your physical capacity is something that's important in also being able to recover. And this is again something that has to be incredibly individualized because people need to not only feel safe in their bodies, they need to feel empowered. And so like working towards like not creating programs to disappoint people, to set them up for failure, but to create programs where maybe it's something very simple, but the goal is attainable and you can move from one thing to another. And maybe it's as simple as compression garments to start with. Maybe it's as simple as like Qigong or breathing exercises, but then that can move on from there. And so those are four of the critical things that I like to know. And then we create this big understanding, when we get labs and we have clinical interventions for our follow-up visits. And this is when I'll address this pill fatigue idea that you brought up, Tanya, because this might be the most challenging conversation because any of my patients who are listening to this podcast are probably like nodding their heads and going, I wonder what he's going to say right now because
I put you on the spot. I love it.
it's true. And I want to say that I'm not guilty of that. But the truth of the matter is, it's a very, very challenging problem. Because it's very easy for me to explain the rationale of each and everything, right? And it can feel like a lot. And I want to first acknowledge that I take a lot of things every day, okay? So my expectations are somewhat high in that I know how
You
much
do
I
what you
can take.
preach.
Right, exactly. So I kind of think, you can fit it in a shot glass, then that's okay. If it goes past that amount, if it's more than 1 ounce of pills, then probably it's a little too much. But the way I would say that I do this for people, and this is especially important with these immune sensitive folks or people with mast cell activation, is I prioritize things. So I may create a treatment plan that's robust, but I will, within the plan that is provided to them, like number one, two, and three. And so I will say, here's your number one priority items. This is where you want to focus. And then if you get through those and you feel okay and good and you're motivated, you can move to two and you can move to three. And so it creates a situation where there can be some, process to integrate these treatments in slowly, so it's not financially overwhelming, and so that it also is a, it is something that you can swallow. And more today, I do things like peptides. I really do love peptides. It's something I've been using almost a decade now, and lecture and train providers on. And it's funny to say, but sometimes breaking up swallowing pills with an injection can be like a little refreshing, and also something that can address multiple components of what we use a pill for with one injection, and maybe in a more powerful way sometimes. So.
Yeah, no, I love peptides. It's part of my journey that I do. I have so much to say on that. I literally was wanting to pull the words right out of your mouth when you kind of first started, because I think that there are, I personally have, I share within the community, there are basically six things that must be addressed when you're dealing with Lyme or these co-infections. And you just listed them out there, right? Because and they're in no particular order, the ones that I recommend. And it's, of course, we're going to kill the pathogens, right? But detoxing and addressing mold, parasites, metal toxicity, environmental issues, your nervous system, right? That's so important. And then your emotional side, the blocked traumas, like you had mentioned, a lot of times people, this pathogen can lay dormant in your body until you have a physical or emotional trauma event in your life. And it could be a good event. It could be having a child, right? But that's trauma on your body. And that is what is going to suppress your immune system and allow these pathogens to take over your body. And then, of course, addressing the emotional side of the journey that we go through, which I personally believe it's kind of like going through a grieving process. And I really think that they're all the layers that have to be addressed if you want to get well or stay well. And you kind of just reiterated all that for me. So I love that. And then as far as talking about the full approach at once, right? Yeah, I'm sure there is a real hard balance, right? To not do the supplement overload versus trying to address everything at one time. So take your pick which one you like, but I'm kind of liking that one because it's a tough journey. It's a long journey, and many of us have been dealing with this for quite some years before we even get a diagnosis, right? So now we get a diagnosis and then we're going to address this. And so you want to take one little thing, okay, let's fix this. A year later, that's fixed. Okay, well now we're going to fix this. And it does. It seems like an overwhelming amount of work, time, energy, money that simply just listening to a practitioner say that could be exhausting, and so, but again, find that fine line of if we're going to approach everything, right? You got to take some stuff. But I love that you're talking a little bit about the peptides and stuff too. And we could get all into that for hours, I'm sure. But let's, because I really want to move on to this testing because I'm so excited about it. But please, if we could just dive for a few minutes on the benefits of high dose vitamin C, because using that in my treatment journey, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I don't really know. All I know is that I truly feel that that was a huge piece to my journey. And like I mentioned earlier, Dr. Corey, when you talked about it at iLADS, I'm like, oh my gosh, who is this doctor? I have to go meet him right away because I got so excited about it because I don't hear people talk about it. So if you could just quickly kind of break down why you use it, the benefits, why the high dose, IV versus pill form, that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I'd love to for sure. And first off, I should say that there the work that I did on vitamin C is actually been published. And it can be accessed online for any of your readers who are interested. The title of that publication is High Dose Intravenous Vitamin C for Lyme Disease, a Safety and Tolerability Study with an Exploratory Assessment of Treatment of Efficacy. It was published in the European Society of Medicine, January of 2024. And it really goes into everything. And for anyone interested, I lay out the entire protocol. The formula is in there for everyone to see, for any provider to use. This isn't proprietary information. My goal is always to try and spread information. I want everyone to know what works and what doesn't. If I can help another provider, if I can help another person, that is truly my goal. And so vitamin C is something that I, as a clinic, I've been using for a long time. I have other providers in my clinic. We use it adjunctively. Again, over the last 20 years, from everything from immune issues to viral infections to adjunctive oncology applications. And I honestly had tried to use it for Lyme back in probably around 2009, 2010. And I want to admit I had mixed results. It was something that I thought would work, and I would see some benefits, but like so many things with Lyme, we see maybe initial improvements and then we see a regression sometimes of symptoms and people having issues again. And there was a point in I want to say it was probably around 2021, in that time frame, where it was right around that COVID time, when things became a little more challenging to get, when I wanted, and I was rethinking IV vitamin C as a therapy, and I wanted to understand like what the obstacles to its initial application were and why I may have seen no durable benefit. And it came up with two things, and these are again something that I think everyone who has chronic Lyme is familiar with: the idea of biofilms, that Lyme and these co-infections can persist in our body within these sheltered biofilms that are, compositions of fibrin and minerals and polysaccharides that basically shield it from our immune system. And then the second thing is what we call immune privileged sites. The idea that Lyme itself is an organism that likes low oxygenated regions of the body. And so it moves into places like joint spaces or the nervous system where we don't see very good circulation. And it can go into these spaces where, if we think all of the antibiotics, all of the herbs, all of the antimicrobials that we use rely on our circulatory system to get to these places where Lyme exists. So I thought, what could I do to address biofilms and to improve the bioavailability or the concentration of vitamin C in these regions where Lyme exists? And I'll get to the vitamin C, but these two adjunctive ingredients are so important. So the first one is EDTA. It's calcium disodium EDTA, and this is to treat biofilms. And What we know is that EDTA may be the strongest biofilm breaker we have, but unfortunately, it's very limited by oral absorption, has very poor oral absorption. So IVs become an ideal application. We may be able to use some rectally, which gets it, and liposomal EDTA may have some benefits, of course, as well. But there was a poster presentation at ILADS, I want to say it was in 2015 or something, where it was actually presented against things like lumbrokinase and serapeptase and even things like atoba and other herbs that we know have biofilm benefits. And EDTA far exceeded the benefits of all these other biofilm therapies. And the second application is DMSO. So anyone who knows about DMSO uses it for things like joints. It breaks down into MSM, so it's very safe in our bodies. Of course, it is a solvent in the sense that it will move anything on your skin into you, but you can use it intravenously. And again, I don't want to make claims that I can't fully support, but in theory, DMSO increases the permeability of cell membranes, of tissue, of our blood-brain barrier. And so now we can actually get concentrations of vitamin C into joints, into the nervous system, into areas of our body where Borrelia hides. Okay. So now we can talk about vitamin C, right? Because the context is we're using it in this specialty formula with EDTA and DMSO. So the next thing is to look at what dose. So I always say to people, and this goes with herbs, this goes with medications, antibiotics, dose matters. Right? It's one of those first things you hear in medical school. Dose matters. It's really important that we're using doses that actually have an antimicrobial effect. And so there's a lot of aspects that go into the safety of this, which was the primary goal of this study, which was establishing that. And you do have to show that you have, genetically, you don't have an issue with glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase. But ultimately, we over three different appointments build up the dose from 30 to 45 to 60 and then to 75 grams. And that's the same as 75,000 milligrams. So that's it, for everyone to think about, an enormous dose, right? This is like we can, our bodies orally may be able to absorb somewhere between, call it 600 and 1200 milligrams at a time, depending on the person. So we're talking much higher doses. So we can achieve plasma doses of ascorbic acid that are more than 70 times greater than what we can get orally. And when we do this, vitamin C enters into the body and it creates what's called a Fenton reaction. So a Fenton reaction, without going too in detail, means that it's going to work with iron and it's going to produce peroxide, right? And peroxide inside of our cells. And now that might sound like a bad thing, but the really neat thing about our biology is our bodies make catalase, superoxide dismutase, and glutathione. And so those three antioxidants are key to preventing peroxide from harming us. And as a matter of fact, our own white blood cells, like our CD57 lymphocytes, something people might know about, rely on lysosomes or these peroxide-filled bubbles to kill a lot of the organisms or pathogens in our body. So we're simply turning the volume up on a mechanism that our body already leverages for its own defense. And we're doing it by creating peroxide levels that are cytotoxic to Lyme, to Borrelia, which of course has been demonstrated in vitro. And to some degree, there's been one in vivo study. So again, this is the kind of thing where funding doesn't unfortunately exist because there's no way to patent vitamin C. But as part of our study, we had secondary and tertiary goals. The secondary goal was to look at labs. Well, I should say the secondary goal was to look at symptom improvement. So we looked at fatigue, we looked at pain, anxiety, depression. And what we saw was across the board improvements. We saw improvements around 20% in mood and pain and fatigue. over a 3-month treatment protocol using vitamin C twice a week. And what was really neat about this study was that 3 months after the completion of vitamin C, meaning people had no longer done any treatment, they got another 20% improvement in fatigue and pain.
Interesting.
Right. So we saw residual improvement. And then our tertiary goal was to look at lab improvement, right? And this is a good segue into Jevora as well, because what we saw was we saw a 50% improvement in CD57 lymphocyte counts, right? This is like just astounding information. And we saw ELISpot tests, which again are part of the Armin Lab ordering suite where we're looking at active infections. We saw all ELISpots negative. So this is a really, really exciting study. Unfortunately, it's a small study that we did. I can personally say I've done many, 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 many more people than was included in this grant, but within this study, we had 6 people. And I can say we're still working on improving these outcomes. And in some cases, we, piggyback this, meaning we do IV antibiotics and then we do IVC or we do other things. But this is going back to the individualizing of each person. So that's the big overview,
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, and I
Tanya.
didn't realize, and again, I'm, this has been over a decade ago for me, using the IV vitamin C therapy. And so I don't know what I believe I also did hydrogen peroxide IV, I believe. I don't know. There was, I didn't even know my name back there. So I don't know a lot of what I did, actually, if I'm being honest. But no, so thanks for breaking that down. And I truly think that, or I truly hope that a lot more practitioners are going to look at it, because I think that it could be, I mean, whose body doesn't want vitamin C? But it sounds like you have found a way to add in conjunction with this for it to actually get into where we need it, right? Because if we just take it alone, it may not saturate and go where we need it to go. So that's some really good results for even with just 6 people, but that it actually continued even after you're not getting the IV therapy of it. So that's incredible. That's part of hearing about how our body heals itself, right? It's amazing. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Perfect timing to go into Jevora Health and exactly what this is. And I think there's so many exciting things about it. And one is being that you do not need a doctor order to order this at home test kit. Because I know that for a lot of people out there, finding a practitioner, right? Affording a practitioner, because now we got to pay for the tests and all of that. So this could be a really great tool for those of you who may be in that situation and also maybe bedbound. I know for me personally, when I did my labs, I had to go to the hospital and beg them to draw my blood, right? Like this would have eliminated that whole scenario for me. Super easy. I love, love, love that you brought up parasites, because I think it's a huge topic that, like you said, oftentimes people just want to think, we're in the US. We don't have parasites. We all have parasites. We do, right? But again, individualize what your immune system is like, how your body is processing things will determine whether these parasites are truly have an effect on your health. I believe, anyways, right? And most of us dealing with chronic Lyme disease have a parasitical infection. We just do. It's not fun, it's not pretty, but it is what it is. And over the years, and I still to this day will confidently say, again, my own personal opinion, there is no parasite test that is accurate, period. There's just not. So I'm glad to hear you agree with me, Dr. Corey. But it sounds like one is coming down the pipeline through Jevora Health and Armin Labs. And that alone is super, super exciting. But we won't go into that because we have so much other stuff that we want to, that I want to talk about, I want to hear about. So we have many things. We have this at home testing kit, right? That we don't need a lab for. We're going to talk a little bit about, you have an actual app that can kind of coincide with this testing. It's a free app. We're going to dive into that, talk about how you can go in and complete the forms, because there are a few different lab options that you have, right? And I know for us that are dealing with Lyme brain or brain fog, it can be very overwhelming. So the app is going to help you kind of break down maybe what categories of testing and the labs, the lab slips that may benefit you the best based on the answers that you provide in the app. And again, Devora Health is fairly new. There's so many things coming down the pipeline that sound amazing. And so this is just the start of it. We're just touching the surface of it, right? So go ahead, Dr. Corey. Let's just talk all about it. What is this thing? Do you have a picture to show us? Tell me all the stuff.
Well, I'll paint a picture. First off, let's go back to that statement you said. This is an at-home testing kit. This is like the holy grail, in my opinion, of empowering people. That one of the biggest challenges and one of the most common denominators I have in my clinic is hearing about how many providers someone went through to finally make it to my office, right? Like how much money, how many years did they go where they saw one specialist after another, they were being treated based on their symptoms, and or the idea that Lyme is a chronic illness, or that it could possibly be affecting them, or that it exists in Oregon, or all of these issues is constantly dismissed, and people are constantly gaslit by their providers, unfortunately. And so there's far too few Lyme literate providers. This is one of my great goals in being a board member on ILADS, is to try and improve the number of physicians that are trained and aware of Lyme and literate. But Jevora Health was born out of the idea that we have between, we have 50 to 150 million people with chronic illness in this country, which is an enormous number. And of those people, we say it could be somewhere as many as 30 to 50% of them could be dealing with a vector-borne infection, right? Like Lyme or Babesia or Bartonella. And it is just not being tested for. So my goal was to say, how can we try and empower people to get effective testing that they can do on their own without having to find one of these doctors, pay their fees, and then get, a test that's generally more expensive than what we're having, than what we're doing here already. So this is a big deal. And what's so exciting about it is Armin Labs itself is one, people think you're going to send your blood to Germany. Well, yes, you're sending your blood to Germany, but people don't realize Armin Labs is one of the only labs that is certified, that is what's called CAP certified, which is the College of American Pathology. It's the highest level of accreditation you can achieve in the United States. It's CLIA certified, of course, but CAP certification is another thing. And what that means is that it's third-party validated. All the antigens are actually validated. All the testing is validated. This isn't lab-developed tests, meaning it's not a test that was made by the lab themselves, where they're going to find their own reference values and they're going to say that they're the best test. But there's no third-party validation to validate any of that. So it's a very good test. All of the results are completely legitimate. And I would argue even beyond that, because they have controls, they have positive and negative and background controls, and every batch is individually done. So, and all of that information is on here. But going into what this basically is, so it's paired with what's called Tasso. So Tasso is an FDA-approved home blood collection device, and I think it's something, Tanya, that you've actually gotten, right? There's the kit, and it's I dare say something that is virtually painless. It's something you can put on your upper arm or on your thigh. And I believe Tanya may actually have a video demonstrating the use of this even. But it basically is able to push a button. It's so lightning quick that you don't really feel it. And it's able to collect enough blood to do some serology, some antibody-based tests. And each of the kits that we've chosen, so there's four different panels, test panels. And the reason why we broke them up the way we did is because there is a limitation in the volume of blood and ultimately serum that we can get from each of those tasso kits. And so sometimes we can't run all four off of one sample, unfortunately, as much as we would like to. So there are four test panels right now. There's the Borrelia Immune Insight panel, which is for Lyme. Borrelia is the bacteria, of course, that causes Lyme. And that is an incredible test for two reasons. One is it does an ELISA, so it does an antibody test, an IgG and an IgM test for spirochetal antibodies. And that's going to include Borrelia burgdorferi, Haefeli, and Giardini, which are the three most common species in the world. And it's going to include recombinant proteins that are going to allow for a wider range of detection. But it also includes what's called a sera spot. A sera spot is sort of like an immunoblot or a Western blot, but it's printed in Wells. And that includes five different proteins. There's native proteins like the outer surface C protein, and the basal membrane protein, the BMP protein, or the 39 band, which is also going to be present in a wide range of Borrelia. But it also includes Decrin binding protein and VLSE1, which are recombinant proteins that help us to have immune cross-reactivity potentially between other Borrelia. So we get sort of the two-tiered testing out of it. It's very exciting. And I can go into more detail on that, but there's this Borrelia panel, as you hear, that is really good. It does all of it. And what I think is one of the most important things to know is we also have what's called round body antibodies. And I don't know, Tanya, if you have spoken on this or not. But this is all the work of a PhD, a very a brilliant doctor named Leona Gilbert out of Finland, who developed antibody testing for cystic or persister Lyme. So we hear about the morphologies of Lyme, that it's a spirochete, that it can also exist in biofilms or in a colony, and that it can move into an intracellular state, which we call persister forms, right? And this is where you've heard of things like dapsone, or we talk about nitazoxanide, or is ivermectin dealing with it, or again cystis or teasel or cryptolepsis, like again the wide range of how do we treat the cystic forms. But what's so neat is we have a test that I want to emphasize again is externally validated for testing for cystic Lyme. And what we see is so important is as much as 75% of people with chronic Lyme who test negative to general antibodies will still have evidence of cystic persister forms. And it's important because we want to be able to know how to treat these, which, as you heard, it's like different therapies. And it also tells us we don't want to give up. We want to keep that pressure on so that we don't stop treatment and this organism's able to exit the cell and begin to repopulate and people become symptomatic again. So it helps us to understand the terrain of their infection and what's going on, how to treat it, and again, how to track over time, both based on symptoms from the app as well as doing retesting. The other three tests here, and I could go on and on, but the other three tests here, one is called a Bartonella Babesia immune response panel. So, again, for everyone out there, and again, many of you probably know this, the three big Bs, as we call it, are Borrelia, Babesia, and Bartonella. And it's important to know those three, as I tell my patients, because the treatment for each of those varies differently. So what treats Borrelia is not necessarily what's going to treat Babesia or Bartonella. So knowing those three can really be powerful foundational work to know. And that Borrelia Babesia immune panel is an IgG antibody. So it's a screening panel, as you want to think of it. And we were limited. We couldn't do IgG and IgM with that because of the volume issue. So that brings into effect the third panel, which includes Borrelia and Babesia IgM, right? So that gives you the other
Okay.
antibody, but it also includes Mycoplasma and Chlamydia pneumonia. And so it's going to look at two infections that are vastly overlooked, Mycoplasma fermentans, Mycoplasma hominis, Mycoplasma pneumonia, and Chlamydia pneumonia as intracellular organisms that are not just walking pneumonia, but can be transmitted from vectors like ticks and cause a wide range of joint-related and neurovascular symptoms and deep, worsening of chronic fatigue. And so that's going to give you a broader picture of things. And then the last or fourth panel is what I call the rickettsial immune response panel. And so this is going to be Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Rickettsia typhi, right? So Rickettsia, as well as Anaplasma and Ehrlichia, which are part of the rickettsial-like organisms, okay? And so by doing all four of those, we've been able to cover the full response of vector-borne infections that are currently testable. So that's kind of the general overview of things. And as you mentioned, we have a symptom questionnaire that I personally developed, which will go through and rank things. So you get a chance to take a 30 question questionnaire, and you get to rank each symptom based on how severe it is for you as a person suffering with symptoms. And at the end of it, it will categorize your rankings based on the correlation with all of these different infections, all of them, Rickettsia, Anaplasma, Ehrlichia, Mycoplasma, all of them. And it will tell you what infections you are most likely to be experiencing, or I should say more appropriately, which infections are most important to be tested for, or potentially to do some clinical interventions to assess improvement, which is where the app comes in, the symptom tracking app. Because now you have a tool where you have your symptoms recorded, you already did it, and now you can re-rank those or track those, again, every week, every month, however often you choose, to see if what you are doing for treatment is actually working and you are seeing improvement, as well as to retest every, say, 4 to 6 months to see that you're actually making progress. Because again, one of the other really important things about Armin Labs that is not done with a lot of labs, you get quantitative numbers. You get a number that's like quantitative. You actually get to see how severe things are, how reactive you are. There's what's known as an optical density index that confirms this, like in two ways. And so you can see if your immune reactivity changing from IgM to IgG. You can see if those numbers are going weaker to stronger. We can, talk about that. I do weekly office hours from 11 to 12 every Monday, and anyone is welcome to jump on and join me and ask any questions they have about these labs, about their symptoms. I do it every Monday, and it's a lot of fun for me because we get a group of people where everyone learns from each other. And I think it's so important to understand. And I know I'm just going on here on you, Tanya, but it's so important for people to understand how much overlap, how not alone they are with their symptoms, with what they're dealing with. And these community forums, sometimes it's just me with one other person, sometimes it's me with four other people asking questions. But what I learn in these, this hour-long office hour I do on Mondays is that people have all this overlap. People realize, wow, I'm like this, and people make connections. And within the app, there's a community feature for you to continue those relationships and for you to reach out and start a community and to become part of a larger group of people who can ask questions and support each other. So I know I've introduced a lot with everything, Tanya, but yeah, you
No,
can
I
tell I'm
love that. Yeah,
excited.
yes, no, and so am I. And along those lines of, the community support and the app and the Monday call that you do, just I'm just going to take a second to shout out. If you are following me on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page, I have recently implemented a Beyond Lyme Buddy program. It's where I use a few different criterias to be able to match you up with a buddy going through this journey so that you have on that one-on-one support system for somebody to help support them, encourage them, have a listening ear from somebody who truly understands what we're going through. And it's just my way to be able to give back to make connections in the community so that you don't feel so alone. So if you want more information, you can find that on my page. Sorry, Dr. Corey, I had to do a shout out
Oh
on
no,
that
I'm
because it's a
fine.
new fabulous program I'm super excited to be able to bring to the community. But okay, yes, so you talked about so much stuff and I'm so excited about this, but I have many questions now.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one is because the test tubes are, it's a limited amount of blood that we're drawing with each
Yes.
test. So you have to have one test kit per each of those categories, correct?
Sort of yes, sort of no. So we arranged it so that you could do the Borrelia Immune Insight panel and the Babesia Bartonella panel as one draw. So you can test all three Bs with one kit.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the first important thing to know is that, and maybe an easier way of explaining it is to say the Borrelia panel, the one for Lyme, can be added to any of the other three. Okay.
Okay, so the first one you went over, just the different forms of the Borrelia,
Yes.
that can be added to each individual other test with one
Yes.
test kit. Okay.
Yes. And that was done very intentionally because Borrelia is being the foundation of a lot of this. So if you're doing the multimicrobial immune panel for mycoplasma, chlamydia, Babesia Bartonella, you can add Borrelia onto that, the Lyme test. Or if you're doing the rickettsial immune response, you can add Borrelia onto that. So any of
Okay.
the Borrelia can be added to any of the other three.
Perfect. Okay, good to know. So, and it may or may not matter because this is so easy. One little prick, right? And you got your blood. But so is there a charge for the actual test kit? Or
It's
can people
all
just call and get it?
part of the cost of it right there. So the test is completely inclusive of the test kit, of the shipping to Germany, the processing, all of it. So what you're looking at is a single charge that includes everything you're going to need. So
Perfect.
it will
Okay.
all be in there.
And if you, so going on the app and doing our checklist to kind of get a guideline onto what we want to test for, that will tell us, then we will go and order the test. And based on which one of the four that we want to do, you'll either send one kit or two kit or whatever is appropriate for what we need to have tested, correct?
Yeah, so whether you're using the questionnaire or whether you've done self-education or whether you've listened to lots of Lyme and Beyond podcasts, so you know a lot about Lyme, you're ultimately anyone out there can choose one of these four panels, and it's simply like any other site. You just add the test panel to your cart and then you check out, and it will be sent to you. So we actually do have people who will order all four tests because they want to know everything up front. And that would require three separate home blood draws to do that. But it's not that big a deal,
They're home blood
honestly.
draws. They're
Yeah,
easy. They're convenient, right?
they're easy, they're convenient. It's not a it's like something you put on your upper arm, your thigh. Like you said, you push a button, it's lightning fast, you guys. And so I think, I tell people it's like an Ozempic pen or a Repatha pen or something. It's just instantaneous. It's easier to do. I think there's more fear around the idea than when people do it, they always go, wow, that was really not a big deal. So, yeah.
Yes, I remember when I was in treatment, and my doctor says, okay, now you're going to have to learn how to give yourself a shot. And I thought, you're out of your ever loving mind. I said, no worries. I'll hire a nurse. They can come in once a day. Oh, no, you got to do this shot multiple times a day. I thought, oh my gosh. And I'll never forget because I assumed, okay, this is what we get for assuming. I assumed that when people go to medical school and they have to, learn how to give somebody a shot. Why in my mind do I think they had like an orange to inject an orange, right? I don't know. Is that a thing, Dr. Corey?
I never injected an orange like intramuscular. I remember using an orange to do suturing at one point. So
Okay,
prior, yeah.
maybe
So
that's where I got it from.
yeah. So I think it was probably on some Grey's Anatomy thing or something, right?
Okay, I just remember because when we were doing the training to learn how to give myself a shot, I thought they'd give me an orange, and instead they told me to take my own arm. And I'm like, whoa, that's a little fast. I like to do things in baby steps. And honestly, it was the most fearful thing that I think I've ever done, at least during this part of my life. But it at the end of the day was the easiest thing ever. It's just getting over that fear, right? We that go through this journey, we are so much tougher than we ever give ourselves credit for. So we can do this, right? We can do this. So, okay, a
Absolutely.
couple more questions. When it comes to the Bartonella and the Babesia, or yes, the Bartonella and the Babesia piece, we've got the IgG and the IgM. So
Yes.
tell us the importance. So the IgG is like a past infection, right? And then the IgM is like a current infection. Why would somebody need to test for both of those?
Yeah, so couple things. One is IgG is not necessarily a past infection. So IgG represents immune recognition. Sometimes I think of it as immune memory. Right. Like the good example of this is if I wanted to know if you had chicken pox as a girl, like, when you were a child, I could test your IgG, or I could test your IgG for COVID, or I could test your IgG for, Epstein-Barr, whatever. All of those tell us about your past history. But the other side of this, and this is where I talked about quantitative results, Arm & Lab gives you a number. So at some point, an active infection can still have an IgG response, right? It just because your IgG does not mean that you are well or that you do not need treatment. And the way that I discuss this, there's different ways you can do it. There's, sort of a traditional immunology-based approach where you're doing serial draws. But one way to think of this too is, well, two ways. One is if you have an elevated IgG and you're symptomatic for those organisms that you're testing, that's a good reason to do an intervention to see if you get improvement. Two is if you do an IgG and your number is, say, four or more times over the reference range, that is usually elevated enough to be suspicious for an active infection. So that is something that's important to know. We have it broken down in that way, as because we have to, right? There are limitations with the blood, but we also see IgG as being somewhat of a screening test, right? So it's useful to know, like, hey, is this worth looking at further? There are people who are IgM positive and not IgG positive, right? And that is also important to know. So again, like a negative IgG, and this is something also maybe that would be helpful for you to know, the IgG test is very inexpensive. It's $179. So if you do test negative for IgG, like you can still do the IgM testing, and it's like you haven't, I don't want to say it's not substantial, but the cost isn't some enormous burden that you did. So you can, we're trying to balance all of these things between the blood volume issues, affordability, being able to let people do both tests. We added mycoplasma and chlamydia to the IgM because it allowed us to volume-wise, and we wanted to add value to the test itself. So that wasn't like two separate IgG, IgM. So you're getting a little more out of that. I should also note for your listeners that if you go to javorahealth.com, I have done several master classes, and those are available for replay on the website. So anyone looking to learn more on the technical sides of things, it's there for you to listen to. So
Perfect. I'm glad you said that. Yes, as always, listeners, the website, the testing kit, the app information. I'm hoping to get the studies that Dr. Corey did on the high dose vitamin C. I'll have all these links in the description of this episode for you.
yeah, and visit me for those open office hours. If you have questions about these tests or things like that, and you're in doubt about what to buy or what to add to your cart, feel free to sign up for that hour from
And it's a
11 to
free
3.
hour class,
It's a
right?
3 hour class. And if
Free.
you knew
I
my
love free
hourly,
things.
yes, it's free. There's no charge. I'm there every Monday from 11 to 12 Pacific time. I mean, obviously, there are Mondays I'm not available that I have for other reasons, but you can sign up. It'd be great to see you there too, Tanya.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm always wanting to learn more things. Just the more information I can take in is the more information that I can give back to the Lyme community. So I know we're running out of time, and I could, talk to you for a whole lot longer. I have a couple of things real quickly.
Yes.
So one, you had mentioned the one of the IG, was it the IgG or the IgM that was 179? Can you give us a quick breakdown of what the test packages are? So how much is the Borrelia one?
So the Borrelia one is 679.
Okay. And then the Bartonella Babesia IgG.
179.
And then the Bartonella Babesia IgM.
And that also includes chlamydia and mycoplasma, which
Yes.
is IgG and IgA, which is interesting. We talk about IgA for that, which is also exciting, but I want to cover one thing. But that's 669.
Okay, and then the Rickettsia that.
519.
Okay, so these prices, when you combine a couple of them, they're very much in range with what we would do if we're having a practitioner send off our blood to the lab. So it's not, we're not paying astronomically higher prices because we're testing at home. So that is really good to know. And we always want to
No.
know how much things cost us, right? Because we really have to allocate our financial resources when we're going through this journey. So
That's absolutely right. And I think that there's, for your listeners, I think there's some available discount too for them, from you. So
oh, okay. Well, I
yeah.
can't wait to learn more about that. Of course, listeners, we'll have information in the description of this episode about a discount you may be able to get. So what was my other question? Oh, two more questions. So, well, one more of a comment. So through Jevora Health, you guys have a line of supplements, which are also going to be available to anybody. You do not have to be a patient of Dr. Corey's or affiliated in any way. You can go on to the site and place an order. And again, I'm thinking that we're talking about, I don't know, maybe discounts here. We'll have all the information in the description of this episode for you. But they have a handful of different fabulous supplements in there. And I know that we like to, again, allocate our financial resources accordingly. However, oftentimes, we need to be cautious of where we are getting our supplements from, right? They're not all treated equally. So, this is a safe place to be able to purchase some supplements. So, the one last thing on here at Dr. Corey is on your site with these supplements, you have what they call a, I'm not even sure what it is called, a pre-testing kit. So it had a combination of three different products. And so this is going to be kind of our last topic, unless we're going to have a 5-hour podcast, right? Which I wouldn't mind, but the listeners will probably be tired of both of our voices by then. So there is a lot of talk in the community, and it's something that I've been kind of wishy-washy on because I'm not really sure, right? Is that people will say, should I do something to my body? Should I take something before I go get tested for Lyme? Is it going to pop up? People say I should take an antibiotic. People say I should do this. People say I should do that. So I'm thinking, because you have this pre-testing kit kind of available there, that your thoughts are yes, if you want to enhance, and again, Armin Labs is a fabulous lab, but
They
if you
are.
want to increase the sensitivity of this test, this is a kit that you do recommend. Tell us what it is and why you think it's important.
Absolutely. And I want to say we do hope in some point in the future to be able to offer our own custom created supplements that I've developed over more than 20 years of doing this, and I'm really excited. This is a true passion project for me because the idea of being able to make like the best in class is so exciting. But right now, we're literally, from a supplement perspective, offering all of the best in class options for what we're addressing. And I say this with sincerity as someone who carries these same products at my own clinic in my own medicinary. So these are, from the treatment point, the best things that you can do. And to address your question, Tanya, for pre-testing, and this is gonna, bring us full circle back to IV vitamin C, actually. So what we're doing with our testing is we're looking for antibodies or an immune reaction to these organisms, right? And what I already said is there's three key parts here. One is there's biofilms, right? Two is there's a depressed immune system that's often associated, or a dysfunctional immune system. And three, there's an organism, or multiple organisms involved. So when we think of how do we improve testing, what we need to do is think about how do we increase the number of dead bacteria or the number of proteins associated with that organism to be exposed to our immune system. So the first thing that we do from a treatment standpoint is we want to boost the immune system, right? So boosting the immune system involves increasing what we call an innate immunity or cell-mediated immunity, things that maybe you've heard of, like natural killer cells, macrophages, and neutrophils. And by doing that, we're using a mushroom blended product from one of the best companies. It's called Real Mushrooms 5 Defenders. And this is going to include reishi, shiitake, maitake, turkey tail, and shaga, all things that have incredible immune stimulating properties. Lots of beta glucans bump up that part of your immune system that kills and, as I say, eats those organisms, right? Phagocytizes. The second one is biofilms. We need to break down biofilms, and we can't be doing IV EDTA, obviously. So what we're using is a product called Biofilm X by VitaAid. And that's going to incorporate enzymes and products that are going to help to break down fibrin and this mucopolysaccharide that is basically shielding these organisms. So now we're releasing them into the system. Yes, some people can get some die-off from that. And there's, of
Were you
course, things.
reading my mind? That was my note.
Yes,
I'm writing down over here.
I was, yes. And there, of course, are things to deal with. I've incorporated that as part of, other products in this that are available. I mean, there's very few products overall, but there are things that are all incredibly poignant that address like the cytokines. There's a cytokine product, there's glutathione, we have cytokine balance, we have glutathione, there's other things. But my point is the three key products: one is five defenders to increase immunity, Biofilm X to break biofilms, and Tick Immune Support, which is a constellation of antimicrobials and vector-borne specific immune products like cryptolepsis, Chinese skullcap, wormwood, Japanese knotweed, that all have effects on Lyme, Babesia, Bartonella, Rickettsia, Anaplasma, Ehrlichia, Mycoplasma, Chlamydia. So why we use that product is it's broad spectrum. Yes, it has a lot of Lyme focus, but it covers other things. And it's enough that if you do it in the recommended doses, in theory, it's going to have an antimicrobial effect. You're going to take that proverbial 10,000 organisms and maybe make 100,000 pieces now. So now your immune system has more things to react to. So we have the antimicrobial, the biofilm, and the immune product as the three key products as a pre-testing protocol to improve the antibody immune reaction. And that hopefully makes good sense for everyone.
It
So
did. Yeah,
good,
it made
good.
sense for me, so I'm sure it made sense for the listeners. So with that and the Tick Immune Support is a supplement I see floating around in the community a lot that people have had fabulous benefits and results from. And
Absolutely.
so that is good to know that people can have a reliable source to get that from your website. So on that, is it necessary to do this pre-testing thing, right? I know that a lot of people haven't. I didn't, right? But how important is it in, and this might be a loaded question, is there a deciding factor on whether you should do that or not? Is it maybe somebody who has maybe just had some not severe symptoms, but for a long time, should maybe they take it? If somebody is just, down on their, deathbed, so to say, should they not take it, or even more apt to take it? Or is there any kind of a guideline you can give us on how somebody can decide whether they should try that or not?
Yeah, that is a really challenging question,
Loaded question, I figured so.
and one that I really wish I could give your listeners a definitive answer on. Unfortunately, there isn't an easy way. I do think maybe what you mentioned, like for people who've been struggling with chronic symptoms for call it more than, a year and a half to 5 years, I don't know. Like the longer you've had it, the more likely you have biofilms, the more likely you have immune dysfunction, the more likely the immune system has, I don't know what the right word is, become complacent. So you need to do something to reinvigorate the system, but you don't need to do the pre-testing, right? That is not something that's necessary. But it is something that whether you're using intracellular or double intracellular antibiotics or you're using herbs is a well-established concept amongst Lyme literate providers as being a potential tool to improve clarity or sensitivity of antibody-based testing, right? So
Okay.
it's that's and
And
that
I
you know.
mostly ask because I'm sure I could say
Yeah.
this with confidence. Anybody listening, and you're talking about, this pre-testing kit protocol thing that you have, they're
Yeah.
antimicrobials, biofilm busters. What is it, what happens, right? It flares us, it brings all these things out. And I know that that was probably something scary to hear, right? If they're working, they don't have a practitioner they're working with, they're really not treating, they're just trying to get some answers. And here they're really hesitant to, do I have to do this and have all of these symptoms and then not have anybody to help me and support me along, or through them, or do I, can I really just not do them and get testing? That was kind of the basis for my question, just
Yeah.
trying to think along about how maybe the listeners might be feeling, because it is scary to take something on your own, right? Like we don't ever want to say,
Yeah.
just be your own doctor at home, even though we feel like we have to be our own doctor at times. But you know what I mean? Like we want to think smart about things that we're putting in our body and the reactions that we may have when we're not under the care of a physician.
And I want to say a couple last things around this because I know we could go on and on. One is there are additional options to address those potential immune inflammatory flares that are part of this base program. Glutathione, which is we use S-acetylglutathione, a tablet, modified citrus pectin to bind galectin 3, and then something called cytokine balance, which is curcumin, green tea extract, and p-tetrastilbene, which is an amazing like ability to reduce cytokines. I also very much emphasize for everyone out there that it's important to take vitamin D and zinc and a B complex as just foundational support. And then finally, we have a few very select items that are part of what we call the individual care considerations in that supplement store, so to speak. And that can be liver support. It can be a histamine-based product that contains quercetin, luteolin, and PEA. It can be additional inflammation resolution with liposomal BPC and KPV, right? It can be adrenal support, which is a pure encapsulations product, mitochondrial support. There's a great one for brain fog. So my point is, it's not to sound salesy right now, which I apologize if I do, but it's to just say there's a very, very select few items that are designed to say, do you need additional liposomal glutathione? Would you benefit from that? Could you be having a histamine reaction? Would something that has all of the histamine support help you? And again, this is where I'm available for the office hours. This is where the questionnaire is there. And then finally, there's educational material that I've written that's on Jevora Health's website that's going to cover some of this stuff for people who are having concerns and reactions. And if it's not there, come visit me on a Monday. I mean, I'm constantly trying to produce material and write and I will be trying to do more videos as well. Something I need to get better at. So.
Yes, there's just so much information. We've just
Yeah.
got to get it out there, right? Sharing is caring. We got to do all that. So, Dr. Corey, this has just been amazing, and I'm so excited about this at-home testing kit. Like it could have saved me so much heartache and tears and stress when I was going through my personal journey because I didn't know I had Lyme. I didn't have a practitioner. I couldn't get any doctor to believe me that I just wasn't crazy. And so nobody would test me for Lyme. And then I didn't even know I needed the specialty lab. So many things wrapped up into this. And so I'm so excited to see, this out with Jevora Health and what is going to be in the upcoming things that Jevora Health are going to be bringing out. So I'm just super excited, super grateful for you. And again, listeners, any links that we talked about, website checklists, all of that, everything will be in the description of this episode so you can get your fingertips on it. So, Dr. Corey, as always, thank you so much. I appreciate you and your time and for sharing all the stuff. And hopefully we'll have some people on your call that ask questions. I mean, hey, if there's a free call, sign me up, right? Let me learn some information for free. So thank you for doing that. And again, thank you for taking the time to join me and share with me and the listeners all this exciting stuff.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya, for everything you're doing for the Lyme community and to connect providers and people and to, be such a selfless advocate that you are. And I know like your own journey is one that has you inspired. So I have so much respect for what you're doing and the support you're bringing to everyone right now. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been a lovely hour
It
or more.
has. Thank you so much.